You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio with your host, Lizzie Orley.
I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land and our elders past, present and emerging. Well, hey you mob, you've tuned in to Deadly Choices Radio and I'm your host, Lizzie Orley. And look, welcome back for another episode. Deadly Choices Radio, if you didn't know, is dedicated toward mob making deadly choices, which is all about eating healthy, remaining active in body and mind, ensuring you keep up to date with your 715 health checks, resisting the temptation to take up smoking or taking the right steps to quit smoking for you and your family. In the studio today, we'd like to welcome Rick Bird and Kenny Hill from our DC Camps and Events team. Hey guys, how you going?
Yeah, good. Yourself?
Yeah, good. It's good to see you guys in the studio again, especially you, Rick. I haven't seen you for quite a while, so it'll be good to catch up. And along with all-round league legend and Deadly Choices ambassador, Steve Renoff. How you going?
Izzy, how are you? Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. I'm really excited for today's show. Can I get you, first and foremost, though, to introduce yourselves with your mob and role? Kick it off with Steve.
Yeah, Steve Renoff, DC ambassador, Deadly Choices ambassador, Goongri on my mum's side from out at Mitchell, southwest Queensland, and Gubby Gubby on my dad's side here on the coast.
Lovely. And Kenny?
So, Kenny, I'm working the Deadly Choices events team. I'm a walk, walk, and cubby, cubby man.
And Ricky?
Yeah, I'm Rick Bird. I work in the DC events crew, and I'm a walk, walker man from Sherbrooke.
Lovely. So, look, now Deadly Choices annual leadership camp is coming up. A full week of activities on the Sunshine Coast planned from September the 23rd till the 27th. Now, can you give us an overview of what the camps are all about?
Yeah, so the camp's more about rewarding the kids that do the Deadly Choices program. The kids from the program will get invited to come on the Deadly Choices camp, which will take them up to the sunny coast and do some cultural activities, leadership activities, team building just to build their confidence up and hopefully take that leadership qualities that they learn back to their respective communities.
Deadly, deadly. So how many kids does it look like will be coming?
I think we've got 220 kids for the whole week.
Whoa, that's oh my gosh, that's full on.
Big job for Rick.
Yeah. How do you go with, you know, when you're working with kids, it's got to be quite interesting and I guess, challenging.
Well, for us personally, we sort of do all the work leading up, all the coordination of the event and stuff like that. So we have our program officers and team leaders in place to actually run the programs and activities during the day. So it gives us a bit of a break. Well, that's the plan anyway.
See how it goes. How did the kids earn their place at the camp? How did that work?
So through the Deadly Choices education program, they obviously got to complete the whole program. Also, their school attendance got to be up to scratch. Also, they got to complete a 715 Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander health check. And then, like I said, once the program officers identify a good leader within the program, they get invited to come on camp.
Yeah, it's deadly to have so many kids already taking control of their health. But let's talk about the DC school programs a bit more. Steve, you've been especially busy this term attending a range of these programs. So how has that been?
Yeah, look, I sort of stepped out of that cycle for a little while, and this year I got back into it. And obviously, boys, how long now? 10 years that the school's program?
Yeah, 10 years
been running
this year.
So yeah. And it's just built. And what I've seen this year has been great because we've launched into a lot of new schools. So we're sort of spreading across the state in schools now, which is great. And I'll just say the job that these guys do, with the school program, they go through a range of all of our messaging with the kids, and it's really reinforced there. But the camps are second to none. I've been in a lot of school camps. I've got 5 kids of my own. I've gone on their school camps, and the camps that the Deadly Choices team run, they're jam-packed full of activities for the kids. And
that's great.
It's a great week.
I used to hate going to school camps myself, but to hear the kind of stuff that goes on with Deadly Choices school camps, that's amazing. Are you seeing kids getting more interested in going to school with participating with these kinds of things?
Yeah, I think especially the feedback we get from the principals is that once the kids do the program, they always rock up the school just so they can do the program.
That's great.
So for us, that's a good sign. And hopefully they can keep doing it once we finish the program at the schools.
It's a win-win, definitely. What are the key topics covered between the junior and senior school programs?
Yeah, so the first lesson that we do for both programs is leadership, because we solely think that leadership's, the main core of everything that we do. So we start leadership, then we go on to chronic disease, inform the kids about what a chronic disease is and how do we get it and how we can prevent getting a chronic disease. Then we go straight into tobacco, nutrition, physical activity, drugs and alcohol, healthy relationships, and also health checks. And health checks is an important one as well. That's where we link them into our services and
through
the health checks.
And that's also probably what you teach them too, one of the preventative methods of chronic disease.
Getting your health checked.
Yeah, deadly.
Yeah, I suppose, following up on that, and that's our role as ambassadors when we do go along to these sessions. And I was out just the other week at Sunnybank High School, and I think really too, when you're talking to kids that are a little bit older, we sort of come in there because we got a lot of personal stories around a lot of these different topics, how we grew up, and obviously around alcohol or around smoking. So and that healthy relationship stuff. So it's where we can have really good input, to support what our officers do out on the ground.
Yeah, and it really does, by the sounds of things, comes down to the environment that we create for our kids. So, it's great that, Deadly Choices are working so hard to create a healthy environment and bringing through those, people who are healthy role models such as yourself to really guide our, next gen. So.
Yeah, and you can see it in the kids. I mean, we come into a program after these guys have done a lot of work. We'll randomly go in to one, and you can see these kids are so well-educated and already, just through what these guys teach them.
So how specifically do the programs promote leadership amongst the youngsters? What do you think makes a good leader for our mob on top of that?
For myself, I just think it's, you need to sort of practice what you preach. So for me personally, being a leader, I hope I am. Some of these kids look up to me and stuff like that. It's just the way I live. Eating well. Stay, physically active and just basically and keep on top of my health as well. So I'm always pushing that message with them. So, but yeah, that's my personal opinion about being a leader.
I think from what you see, I mean, obviously you get a group of kids and they're all at varied levels, in the way they interact and whatever. So, but as you guys would appreciate too, there's always a leader in that group and, so you sort of, need them within the group, but you then encourage the other kids that don't speak out that much that, look, it's okay for you to, to chat. And that's just about part. It's just about confidence. So we talk about leadership and you talk about confidence and, you hope that sort of filters through the group and it does. So they're just little things that you look at with kids and in their own right, they can all be leaders.
Would you say it takes, a bit of time and it's common sense, but effort to really get a kid or those who do struggle, with opening up to open up? How would you go about that?
Yeah, I think with our program officers going into the schools to do the program, like Rick said, they look up to older people straight away, especially our DC program officers. And one of the things that they do say when they do start the program is they talk about, as Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people, we're all leaders no matter what age, because we've always got younger nephews, cousins, younger friends that look up to us no matter what.
Mm.
So just always be mindful of what we do and the actions that we do, because someone's always watching.
So for you guys personally, who are those important leaders in your life growing up?
For me, it was obviously your mum and dad. I think if you're from a strong family, you're ahead straight away. So we were very lucky. My siblings and I, that we had strong parents. Definitely as kids, having your mum and dad there and, and then they teach you the right thing and you try and do the same with your kids.
Kenny, yourself?
Yeah, no, mine's pretty much exactly the same. My parents as well.
Yeah.
Always made sure that we had food and a roof over our heads.
Yeah, and what about yourself, Rick?
Yeah, I'm the same way. Just the parents, grandparents. I come from a big family, so, being... child of eight, in a family of eight, like it's...
Wow.
Yeah, sometimes you can struggle a bit there, but, like Kenny said, there was always food on the table and clothes on their back. That's the main thing, I think. And my parents always worked, and that was, for me, that was something I took from them as well.
Mm.
Like they were never out of work and constantly working, stuff like that, and still... Still took time to, be parents to us kids. So, yeah, they were my, role models and stuff like that. So,
Yeah, and sounds like you guys had really important and invaluable experiences, you know. I think that's a big thing,
and then you got to appreciate when you talk to a lot of the kids, and you always have that at the back of your mind that they don't. Not all the kids have the background we had, so you got to, the way you deliver and what we talk about leadership could be totally different for these young kids, you know, because everyone's got a different story. So we always hold that. Always when I talk to kids, I think, well, you know, and I always talk about, you know, my parents and that, you know, some of them don't have both parents or don't have, you know, they have guardians. So yeah. It's just, you know, different situations.
Yeah, yeah. It's great that you guys, you know, create have that open-mindedness, and are able to work with people and children on going through different challenges and experiences. So that's absolutely wonderful. But getting back on track, what do you think are some of the positive takeaways the kids earn from DC school programs? We touched on some of that before, but if we could really delve into that, you know, especially, you know, our young blackfellas going through these programs. So, yeah.
Well, I think just to start off there, obviously we're there as role models. You come along and you talk about your journey. But once again, it's around, you know, just letting these kids know they can be mentors and they can be role models within their own peer group. And that's where these guys give them the skills about how to go forward to be a leader just within your group. And that's a good start.
So when I would go to school camps and programs, there was always that one person that you remember from that time that sticks with you, that taught you something. How does it feel for you guys that you could be that one person that, you know, will remain in a kid's mind throughout their life and as they go through, you know, for something good that you guys are doing? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, like, speaking on that, it's important to always remember that, you know, you could have that effect on one of these kids. Yeah, even if it's just one of them. So when you're engaging with them on these camps or the programs, to really try and make a positive impact on them. And, you know, they're kids, so a lot of them won't take nothing, you know, at that particular time. But there might be just one there that really that you hit a nerve or so to speak, and they sort of take to you, you know, and you might have that real positive impact on them. So
yeah.
I think it's just important to realize that, not even though you're in front of a group or something like that, if you can make that impact on just one of them, that's still a big thing, I think.
And it's great that you guys are working with, you know, a group of kids who want to be there, that know that you guys do good stuff. They really want to be there. And that can make all the difference in the world on creating that positive impact. You know, they don't feel forced that they have to do this. It's something they're really interested in. So look, at the camp, what kind of activities do you guys run? Can you give us a rundown? Yeah.
Yeah, so for the camp, our main thing is around education, obviously. So everything they learned from the program, all the topics we spoke about before, we sort of refresh on those topics throughout the camp. We don't actually sit down and do the program again, but we'll take key messages from each of those topics and sort of reinforce it throughout the day with those kids. But then also we do some fun stuff like team building games, Indigenous games, cultural activities where the kids will learn some cultural dance and songs. We'll also do surfing and also maybe a good quick tucker, if Rick's willing to get up and show everyone how to cook.
Maybe we'll have to have you come in for the next good quick tucker burger cook-off and see if you can create the next best burger, Rick.
Yeah, we'll see.
Baked beans on toast.
Hey, don't knock it. No. That sounds deadly. So what seems to be the favourite activity amongst the kids?
Surfing would be definitely
surfing.
Yeah.
Are you? Is that your specialty too, Kenny?
No, I can't surf.
No, I was going to say I've
too many
I'm really bad.
Out there.
Yeah, true.
What about you guys? Are you guys any good at surfing?
Not a chance.
No. I've always wanted to surf.
Yeah.
There's that, you know, fear of sharks.
Yeah.
Fear of sharks. Yeah, massive. You know, as long as you get in water, you can't see the bottom. I'm out.
Yeah, true. And several of our Deadly Choices ambassadors will also be involved on top of, you know, the activities going on.
Yeah, you know, we get to go to the camp. So we're heading up there on the Tuesday, Thursday, and they're the big activity days that the guys have organised. And, look, being involved in the past, it is. I love going to these camps, and sometimes I think we enjoy it more than the kids. so you get to do the activities with them and just to mingle. And we have a good time at the same time with the kids. And you just see on their faces that the week for them is something they really look forward to.
Do you know anyone else alongside yourself that will be going? I know. So.
Yeah, well, more than likely, I mean, it'd be mostly ambassadors, I'd say. So, you know, it'd be Brenton Bowen, Willie Tonga, you know, and Petro Sivanasiva. He sort of... so they'll sort of work us in for the week.
Yeah, good fun. So before we move on, are there any feel-good stories you guys can share from, you know, your times at these camps?
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure, was it last year or the year before, you guys remember the young lad that came down, I think he's from Palm Island, remember? He did the dance for us.
Yeah.
And you see that lad, and he's been in his community, but to see, he actually grew during that week, didn't he? Because he was a little bit standoffish at the start of the week, and that's what it's all about. And when you're there, you sort of go and have a chat to him. But by the end of the week, he'd totally come away as a shy kid that was interacting with all the other kids, and he had a great week.
Yeah, Dudley. And that's so important, you know, and I really took note of when you were talking about the activities going on in these camps and the cultural activities, and it goes to show that can do absolute, you know, wonders and that connection to culture, you know, and that's a big part of our identity. So that's absolutely Dudley to hear a story like that. And the leadership camps are far from the last we'll hear of Dudley Choices this year. So we still have the ABF Murray Carnival and Touch Football Carnival to look forward to. So it's fast approaching. But before we get into that, I might throw to a couple of songs. Are there any requests you guys want to chuck in? Any country music artists you guys like to listen to, or any of our Deadly Blackfella artists? We've got, you know, your Baker Boy, AB Original, Dan Sultan, Uncle Jimmy Little, Uncle Roger Knox.
You do Busby Maru?
Busby Maru, yeah.
They got a good song. They got a good single out at the moment.
Yeah, yep. All right, we'll chuck that on for you, Steve. No worries. And you're listening to DC Radio. You're with Lizzie Orley, Steve Renoff, Kenny Hill and Ricky Bird on 98.9 FM for the best country.
Been stumbling home all by myself at night, telling the streetlights that I'm doing fine. Those empty bottles laying by my bed tell me I'm getting pretty good at this. Lately whiskey's going down faster than it used to do, so give me one more. She said, spins like a carousel inside my head. That hangover, it only makes it worse. Tells me that I'm not really over her. Lately, whiskey's going down faster than it used to do. So give me one more. Coming down.
So the Murray Carnival is fast approaching, set to be a packed week of rugby at South Pine Sporting Complex in Brendale on the 1st of October to the 5th. So is everything on track, you mob? And what can we expect through the carnival?
I had a bit of a talk with the team the other day. I think everything's ready to go. So
yeah,
I think DC's involvement sort of just we're partnered with ABF just to help behind the scenes and make sure everything's running right. So I think we got the most nominations for the women and 15s this year.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And we've got 18 teams for the men. So the sort of structure for that is a little bit different this year. I think you play three pool games and then straight into the quarters.
Okay, yep.
Which will be good. So I think it works out to be two games a day over the 3 days.
So why has that change been made?
Just for the numbers. Numbers this year. But I think it's a good change as well. Like these knockouts and carnivals are good, but just being to them over the years, I think when you get to the last day, that fatigue element really kicks in, and which is one of the big things of a knockout or carnival is that, you know, you got to get used to that. But at the same time, when you get down to those main games, semis and grand finals, sometimes one of those teams are just depleted.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's just who's ever left standing gets away and wins it. And sometimes in finals, I know you can end up with a blowout, like where, you know, the game's not that good because one team's just depleted with injuries. So
yeah, okay.
I think for me personally, just to win the carnival, you have to win, I think, six games, which will be good. It's over 3 days. That's doable. Come that last day. And with the Murray Carnival over the years, for me, just that last day being the semi and then the grand final,
That's
the best thing. Because I think sometimes other places, they try and cram a knockout or a carnival into 2 days.
Yeah.
And on that second day, you could end up playing four or five games on the last day and you just, you know, smash. So. But, yeah, everything's running up and running, ready to go. So hopefully all the players can put on a show.
Sounds like you're tackling this the right way. No pun intended. Steve, you've... oh, God. So, Steve, you've been involved the past few years. How do you find it?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's one of our bigger events and... you know, to be involved, I think what I love, I think we, you know, during the carnival, we get 20,000, 30,000 people come through the gates, and we all know how much we love rugby league, but just the way it's run, obviously, by these guys and what they do on the ground is amazing because it is a big project, but it always seems to run very smoothly.
Yeah, there's a massive hype around it. I'm seeing all these events on Facebook being shared already. Some of my cousins are wanting to go and stuff like that, which is, you know, if I'm going to be there, then I'm going to run into family while we'll be doing all DC stuff. So I'm excited.
Well, you never know, Lizzie, too. I think these might see these two lace on the boots.
No. I'll have to come watch that one, especially if that happens, eh? Nah, give. All right, so how important do you think these kinds of events are, you know, to showcase Murray talent out there?
Yeah, I think they're very important. Like, obviously, these carnivals have been run for years, and the Murray Carnival, I think, come in 2014, I think. But, yeah, so it's just a good platform for, you know, these young Murray kids. We've got a heap of talent, and especially now with the games being live streamed and stuff like that, it's just a good platform for them to really come and show their talent, you know, especially the community boys, because a lot of them, they stay out in communities, rural communities, and they don't get as much exposure to the sort of wider community where people can really see what sort of talent they've got.
Did you feel that yourself at all, you know, growing up in your community? Did you see that happen, you know, where you felt that people in other areas had better opportunities available?
Yes and no, because, like, Bucko's from the same place I'm from. So, he was sort of the leader for all of us. And because he was on that big stage, like, we'd get talent scouts and that coming back to Mergen and stuff, like where the high school we went to, and just really keeping an eye on us as well. And, like, and also around our region, the we've got a reputation as well as being real talented sports men and women. So I think it was a no-brainer for talent scouts to really be around our region, you know, over the years. But, yeah, with some of the real remote communities, I think it's a bit of a sort of roadblock for them, that where, you know, they're not seen as much as some of these young kids are in metropolitan, you know, regions and cities and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Especially now, I think a lot of the kids are, with rugby league anyway, are pushed. They've got the School of Excellence now in the cities, and you get the schools with the reputation of being footy schools. Like, I think down the coast you've got Keebra Park, Palm Beach, Currumbin, and Brizzy. I think you got Wavell. Cav Road hasn't been any good since Kenny left, but... No, but, yeah, you know, so... And I think even with recruitment in that too, I think some of the kids in remote communities can be asked to come down to do their schooling in these big schools. But obviously it's a matter of if they're known or not, you know.
It is a great option. I've walked into, you know, Murray Carnivals over the years, and because I know a lot of them, there's a lot of the scouts. I bump into the scouts, so they're all there watching all these young fellas play. Obviously looking at the 15s and the 16s, that age group, but then the opens. And so, yeah, they are around, and it is, as Rick said, it's a great opportunity because, you know, because they've been held down here in Brizzy, there's going to be scouts. So, you know, the kids can take advantage of that.
It's a big deal in so many ways by the sounds of things, you know. And, it, you know, I guess if you're tuning in and you're interested and you're participating, I guess you could be the next Steve Renoff, making that name for your community and getting people in. Look out. Okay, and as well, the DC's annual Touch Football Carnival is locked in for November the 23rd out at White Hills Reserve in Camp Hill. How's that coming along?
Yeah, no, it's all good. Everything's pretty much in place. I'm ready to
That go. Was such a, yeah, no, it's all good. We got this, don't you worry.
We got
Yeah,
it.
We do.
Yeah. No, yeah, sorry, do continue though. Sorry, brother.
Yeah, no, me and Rick and myself have pretty much organised everything behind the scenes. Now, what's left is this promotion. At the moment, we've got 20 teams locked in. The registrations have only been out for two and a half weeks now, so that's good numbers for us. And, yeah, this year, what's going to be different from next year is hopefully the numbers. Hopefully we can get a lot more teams. We've already, out of the 20 teams, we've got maybe 6 or 7 teams from New South Wales, one team coming all the way down from Coffs Harbour, so... that's a good sign for our Touch Carnival. Hopefully each year can just get bigger and bigger.
That's exciting. That's really cool. How are you working to make it bigger and better this year? You mentioned a little bit about that, but what can we look forward to?
For myself, I just think it's good competitive touch. You know, if we can, I think you can run these events as well as you can, but at the end of the day, it's the community that's got to get behind it. You know, we were talking about the Murray Carnival earlier, and there's always that back and forth between Koori Knockout, Murray Carnival and stuff like that.
Yeah.
One thing that really sort of, the times I went down in the Koori Knockout, it was just, you got to give it to them, you know, like the community support and backing they get down there is just unreal, you know, and I think that's something that up here we've got to do better with both our Murray Carnival, but also what we're trying to bring back is with the touch. Because I think back in the days, the touch carnivals that used to be run at White's Hill was like, they were basically the Koori Knockout in the touch football sort of arena.
Yeah.
They were the biggest, it was the biggest touch carnival in Australia, basically, for all our mob. So if we can get it back to that sort of level, that'll be great. And hopefully this year is the start of it.
I think, you know, I always enjoy going to any events where blackfellas are, because, you know, always there's going to be really the community there is just always just going to be uplifting each other there, as well as bringing the excitement, you know, we're the loudest. But it's that excitement and that really good energy that our mob bring to events, you know. And again, with the numbers, I hope, you know, you guys, you know, get enough that everybody can really feel this really great energy that's already there. Where can our listeners find out more information about these upcoming events?
Yeah, if you can just go to our Daily Choices Facebook page, you can find the link there for the touch, but also our Daily Choices website as well.
deadlychoices.com.au, and the Facebook page is facebook.com/deadlychoices.
There you go.
There you go.
Check it out. Okay, well, now let's throw to our senior games. Now, we all know about the competitive spirit behind the senior games. Well, last Friday was no exception, where you saw the North versus South teams compete against one another at Strathpine. We caught up with the likes of Deadly Choices ambassador Brandon Wakeling, Willie Tonga, Brenton Bowen and Patrick Johnson there out at the games. Take a listen.
Brandon, firstly, seniors games, mate. What does it mean for you to be involved in these sort of programs?
Well, as much as it is incentivising physical activity amongst our elders, for me it's more so just community. So for the biggest thing for me, and I'm sure with a lot of the elders here, is just seeing smiles on faces, people getting connect with one another. There's not too many events where we can have so many of our elders all together conversing with one another. So for me, it's just all about fun and just seeing some smiles on faces.
And you talk about those smiles on faces. It's obvious every event that you attend, it's obvious that everyone does have a good time, don't they?
Absolutely. As competitive as some of the elders can get with the games, at the end of the day, they're all smiling, they're all having fun, laughing. That's pretty much the best thing that we can get out of this.
It's really a twofold thing, isn't it? And I suppose it's that reconnection from, you know, the current generations and, you know, looking to the elders for a bit of guidance as well.
Yeah, well, as we do with Deadly Choices, we have connections not only with our elders, but all the way down to our young'uns. So just to have that holistic approach with our elders and having that connection there is invaluable for our younger community as well.
And we talk about social isolation. That's one of those key areas for mental, emotional well-being of our elders. It's a big thing as well.
Yeah, so that's definitely one that doesn't get touched on as much, but social isolation, especially with our elders, is a massive issue. So to have events like this, it just pays dividends for our elders.
It's obviously twofold, these events, aren't they?
It is. It's definitely awesome to come out and see the smiles on the elders' faces and for them to also reconnect and stay connected. You know, whether it's, you know, once or twice a week they get together, they talk about the old times, they teach us a lot as well, you know, with their upbringing, where they're from. So it's kind of good to, you know, to get around, whether it's up north of Brisbane or south of Brisbane, and meet new faces and let them sort of explain their stories as well. But yeah, it's just rewarding to see them have fun and stay competitive.
And Brett, obviously that physical side, physical emotional, it's basically a holistic program.
Yeah, that's right. Like Willie said, it's good to see that all the elders get out here, and it just gives them another sort of, I suppose, an option to get out and have some fun, mingle with friends, you know, make some new friends as well. But yeah, it's very rewarding for us as well to come out here and just to see the smiles on their faces, and at the same time, like, just seeing them be competitive in what they're playing as well in terms of the games.
And it's obvious right across the board, though, the smiles on the faces. Everyone enjoys it. It's just a social, fun feel, but you're also getting that physical activity as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's what Deadly Choice is all about as well. Like, we're promoting the healthy lifestyle, healthy eating, and it's good to see they're out here and just getting like physically active as well. That they're here for at least an hour and a half or twice a week. Yeah, like I said, it's good to see them out and about and just being physically active.
And finally, Willie, seniors games, it complements that Deadly Choices. It's looking after the entire community, isn't it?
For sure. Deadly Choice is doing an awesome job in, you know, trying to reach the young kids at school, you know, promoting that message around healthy living, healthy lifestyle, and, you know, whether they take it home and, you know, tell their family about it, tell their parents about it. And then also we get a chance to speak to the elders about it, who may not know or may not be as educated around, you know, what types of things they need to do to stay healthy, to live a healthy life. As I touched on before, Deadly Choices is touching both the young and the old, and doing an awesome job in promoting that message, which is around healthy living, healthy lifestyle, and trying to live a longer life, I guess.
Yeah, I see the impact of the Elders Games here is incredible for our elders, but also for the community. Getting together, you can get a sense at the Elders Games here, everyone's having a laugh, everyone's having fun, there's interaction, and that really is important for our mob to get back to community, but also talk about health and well-being, and part of that is eating right. There's also your mental and your social realities, and for us, as a DC ambassador, this is so important. This inspires me to ensure that I connect back to my elders. But the impact here is crucial, because only time sometimes we catch up with our elders is with family, but also at funerals and all that sort of stuff. So we're changing that reality. We're changing that culture. We want to catch up with elders. Elders Games create that interaction, that social, healthy living, and it's really inspiring because when you see the elders coming out here and have a laugh, having a throw and being competitive. Yeah, I've seen the Elder Games change the isolation of our elders because a lot of times they might not be getting out or maybe not socialising. You see at the Elders Games here, they are really happy. They're actually catching up with their mob, somebody they haven't seen for a couple of years. It's really powerful because we're seeing a change here because we're seeing the Seniors Elders Games here create another community, create our elders. They know they're special. They know a part of us. They're our history. They're our culture. And we're seeing a big change. Everyone's laughing. Everyone's having fun.
You're listening to Deadly Choices Radio on 98.9 FM. Oh, that's so deadly to know the games provide our elders there with the chance to socialise and enjoy physical activity and reconnect with mob. All three in one. That's deadly. Remember, there's much more in store for the senior games with the IUE Shield coming up December 13th in Willawong. So get your team registrations in quick. All right. And to wrap things with a bit of footy talk, this weekend we saw the Broncos experience a devastating loss to the Eels at Bankwest Stadium in Sydney, which officially ended their season. So, look, what do you think happened there? Steve, I'm sure you've heard so much and talked about this so much, but yeah.
Well, from the Broncos side of things, nothing happened. without being too harsh. No, look, it was just a bad – they did. They had a bad day and they'll rue that. And, you know, they've – and quickly, like, and I think rightly so, they've been given a bit of, constructive criticism, from a lot of fronts. But they know they would deserve that, you know, and the club's aware of that. So – they now, though, after this week's done, they'll just move on and get into next season. They've got a lot of soul searching to do, and also they've got to look at their playing group and how they need to turn that attitude around, because it wasn't great. Mm-hmm. These guys know it was just you go out there and you can understand, if the team's better, and Parramatta they were red hot on the weekend, but you sort of look at, as a supporter and a fan and an ex-player, you can sit there and look and you're just kind of waiting for something to happen, but it wasn't forthcoming right throughout the 80 minutes. So that was disappointing.
Must be a big kind of shocking wake-up call for the boys, but, I guess, like you said, move on and do better.
That's it. We've all had ups and downs in our sport. I mean, we weren't perfect at the Broncos, and we say that, but we were always proud of the jersey that we wore, and we knew we can go back and fix it, and I think that's where they're at. They just got to go back and, look forward to the first game next year.
Oh, well, it's not all bad news. The Broncos NRL women's team have kicked off the Holden Women's Premiership with a solid win against the Dragons. That'll take them to Amy Park in Melbourne next week to play the Roosters. And Deadly Choices has a partnership with the NRLW, yeah?
Yeah, we started that last year, obviously, with the Broncos, and, we're carrying it on again this year. So, it's something where, the Institute and Deadly Choice have been really good, that we've supported Women's Rugby League, and, we'll continue to do so in the future.
Yeah, and that's extremely important. And, what do you think is the value of having a women's league, NRL Women's League?
Yeah, because, obviously Rugby League in the past is all men, and I think as what we see, there's a lot of young women, which probably when I was growing up, there weren't any females playing, and it just wasn't noticed or recognised as a female sport. And you think, well, why not? We get to see, I tell you, some of the footy the girls play, they're a lot more in their own right. They're a lot more physical than the blokes, and I love watching it. So put a few whacks on here, and there was a few on the weekend actually by the Bronco girls, and and I think you go back to that match, the match on the weekend, St George end up with four of our gun players from last year's premiership winning team, and then it shows the strength of our women's team. We come out and beat them in the first round.
It's incredible. And geez, I really got to catch the next one then in that case. So we can catch the NRL women's grand final on this October the 6th. All right, let's check in with our upcoming DC events. Our deadly sisters out there, look, get your susus checked today with a free breast screening by Breast Screen Queensland. That's amazing. They encourage women aged 40 to 75 years old to have their breasts checked regularly to reduce the risk of breast cancer, which is so important. No shame there. Go get it done. Moreton Aches Morayfield Clinic will be holding a screening day this October on the 1st. So register your interest with your local participating AMS. We also have a Mums and Bubs Deadly Wheels playgroup on every Tuesday at Morton Akes Margate Clinic. Come along with your bub to try a range of family activities, music sessions, and hear from guest speakers such as our Deadly Choices ambassadors. And as we've just yarned about, the Queensland Murray Carnival is just around the corner, happening October 1st to the 5th at the South Pine Sporting Complex, Brendale. And even if you're not playing at the carnival, you can still come along to support this year's Murray talent and watch some deadly games of footy. And look, get your registrations in quick for this year's Deadly Choices Touch Tournament, September the 23rd at White's Hill Reserve in Camp Hill. And remember, in order to participate in any of these events, you must be up to date with your 715 health check. You don't have to be sick to get it done. Just go get it done. It's a good preventative measure if you're not sick. And if you are, it's good to tackle things head on in the same instance. On top of that, book in for your biannual eye health check today at any participating AMS and take home a pair of Deadly Choices sunnies. Well, this brings Deadly Choices to an end, you guys. I know, you gotta go. We've had such a good time here in the studio.
Thanks, all right. Lizzie.
Thanks, guys. So, look, before we wrap up, though, can I get you to tell me about your Deadly Choices? What are your Deadly Choices that you're making today?
Still walking. We're up early. I missed it this morning, but we got a lot of the old boys walking at 6 in the morning. We do about a 7K walk and...
Wow.
Yeah,
so in the morning? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit early. But anyway.
That was good.
Yeah, but it's good. You know, we're getting more and more of the old boys come. So that's it, my Deadly Choice at the moment. We've been doing that for, I don't know, a month or so now.
Good on you. And it's great you get to spend time and do it together. That's important. Kenny?
Yeah, my Deadly Choice is just to eat healthy.
And Rick?
Same as last time. Just eat healthy, exercise, and get enough sleep.
Nice. Yeah. That's what I'll be doing, getting some sleep. I'll actually have a nap under the desk after you guys leave, so don't tell anyone. Thanks to you, Mob, for coming in. It's been a really deadly show. Really appreciate the time you've made today. Thank you.
Deadly Choices Radio. A show encouraging Mob to make healthy choices, from stop smoking, eating good food, exercising daily, and getting a health check for themselves and their family. Featuring Deadly Choices ambassadors, the Healthy Lifestyle Mob, and many more. So tune in to Deadly Choices after 6 p.m. each Wednesday and on demand at 989fm.com.au.